Welcome to Dogs Are Smarter Than People. My name is Sean, and next to me is my beautiful wife, Carrie Jones.
Sean is a former cop and now his own businessman, and this writing podcast is about writing.
What?
And life. And being quirky. We start with a random thought recorded somewhere in our house, oftentimes in our bedroom. And then we do a writing tip and a dog tip. Why do we talk about writing? Because I'm a writer.
Because Carrie Jones is an international and New York Times best-selling author. She knows a whole heck of a lot about writing.
But not about life.
Well, we do stumble through life quite a bit, and you'll experience that if you keep listening.
Let's start with a random thought.
All right, let's go, baby.
Hey, it's random thought in the office.
We keep falling asleep too fast in bed.
We're old, man. You can hear Gabby clickety-clacking in the background on the hardwood floor.
Lay down, Gab.
And here we are. It's almost Christmas for those of you who celebrate Christmas, and it's solstice today for those of you who celebrate the bringing back of light.
Everybody should celebrate that.
Ooh. And a trending thing. Well, I thought it was trending on Twitter, but then I lost it.
Yeah.
Which is a little weird, right?
Uh-huh.
But one of the trends I saw this morning when I woke up was how to have a manly Christmas.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And also, you know, martial law and insurrection. But
that kind of goes together.
Yay, America! But yeah, and like, and then I lost the Twitter tag. Like, I couldn't find it again. I don't know if
for
I dreamt
manly Christmas?
It. Yeah.
You think you might have jumped it?
I think I might have had just like a psychic break or something, and I just imagined having a manly Christmas. But I thought, since you're such a manly man, Sean Kelly, what does a manly Christmas mean to you?
I have no idea. To me, as a man, it means having a wonderful, joyous time with your family.
It doesn't mean beef jerky.
The ones you... Well, I do get beef jerky every year for Christmas from you, my lovely wife.
You know how you can man up your manly card, maybe? If you want to be stereotypical and play into gender roles. You can make beef jerky and give it to all your friends for Christmas.
Oh, yeah. I make it hot as hell, too.
We have some friends that we love very much.
And we'll see what happens.
And they always have like this, oh, this is so hot, you can't even handle it. Whenever we go to parties, there'll always be a group of them like, oh, this is so hot, you gotta try it. And like, they're always man-upping about the hot sauce.
Yeah.
And, or the spiciness of something. And Sean always just goes over there and eats it. And they all look at him, and they see the fact that his face doesn't change and his eyes don't water, and then they all just look away, and a beat happens, and they continue their conversation.
Yep. And once they're engrossed again and their attention is off of me, I run to the bathroom and rinse my mouth out. Not really. Not really.
Do you think that having a manly Christmas is really about wrapping your presents in a Walmart bag?
No, that's bunk.
That's bunk. That's what our daughter does.
Manly.
Well, close
man,
to it.
Manly. Men should be able to wrap presents just as good as, if not better, than any woman.
If not better.
Yeah. If not better. Like, you know, people aren't the same. That's all. Some people don't have the attention to detail.
That would be me.
Or the patience even.
That's awesome.
I mean, wrapping presents sucks.
I hate it.
It's fun for, like, the first couple for each person, but then...
then it's done.
You know, when you're into, like, number 14,
I think
you've still got three more people to go.
I think if you're a manly man in a stereotypical way in the United States, you have to say that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and if not, you throw away your stereotypical man card.
Your stereotypical man card?
I know.
Are there different levels of man card?
There's stereotypical man, and then there's real man.
I was thinking more like Platinum Express, where you have like silver, gold, and platinum, and then maybe black. The different color cards.
I think a real man like doesn't need to watch Die Hard, but accepts that it's a Christmas movie, but also will lip sync and sing in falsetto along with Mariah Carey. That's what a real man is.
Yeah, I agree.
Because
even
you're just
though
being
I don't
you,
think
right?
That really.
What?
Even though I don't do the lip syncing part, I pretty much agree with your statement. Yeah. Just be yourself.
Like, you don't have to always ask for power tools and whiskey cubes and ammo.
That's right.
To be a real man. And if martial law happens, right?
Yeah.
You could lose that ammo because you're going to lose your right for against unreasonable search and seizure. So be smart, gotcha. Real man.
Be smart, and stereotypical real man. Ones. That's right. Those that perceive yourselves as real men, I guess.
Also, I would say that invoking martial law if you don't get your way on Christmas is not a real man. That's not having a manly Christmas, man.
Oh, definitely not. No, definitely man. Not, but, yeah, you know, he's not a real man.
So,
by any stretch of imagination.
Like, a real man doesn't need the military to be in charge. No. A real man can be in charge themselves.
That's right.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
And defend the Constitution or their family themselves. Well,
correctly, yes.
And the whole country and the world is your family, people, because it's Christmas.
Do they know it's Christmas?
No, don't sing that song.
Worse. We have recently determined that that is
not recently. Sean just realized it because he finally listened to the lyrics.
Oh, well.
We've been talking. The rest of the family has been talking about do they know it's Christmas for a long, long time.
Really?
Yeah.
Even Kitty.
Well, no, not Kitty because she doesn't know that song exists.
Well, the rest of the family would be you and Emily.
So. But she's probably watched a TikTok video about it by now. And she's probably going to send us a very angry group family message. Being like, did you know this group of white British people, mostly? Like, and they thought the whole continent of Africa didn't know what Christmas was? Oh my gosh. Well, meaning yet stupid white people. We're all over the place.
Yeah, we are. Writing tip of the pod. Forget to hit my reverb button there.
You don't need that, baby. You're a real man. So character versus characterization is our writing tip today, my dear husband.
Oh my god, it's a real writing tip.
It's a real writing tip.
Like, I'm already confused.
Well, you just shut up, man. It's cool. All right, so Robert McPhee is his guy who wrote a lot of stuff, and he has a bit in his book Story where he talks about character and characterization, and one of my favorite aspects of that discussion is just a simple quote which will hopefully be of some use to you, Shawnee.
True character is revealed in the choices a human being makes under the pressure. The greater the pressure, the deeper the revelation. The truer the choice to the character's essential nature.
So, we're not going to talk about politics right there, but...
Oh, that's perfect.
I know. Instead, we'll talk about the people who wrap their presents in Walmart bags, because it's the pressure of gift wrapping for Hanukkah or Christmas or birthdays, and, like, they can't handle it, so, like, that's their choice, right? How much would that show you about the character in a book or a movie or in real life versus... the person who just wraps their present, or the person who gets a gift wrapped from somewhere because they're hoity-toity and they have that much money, those jerks.
Yeah, so, well, that's I'm not going to hold anything against them. I definitely take that option. I don't get any, like, pride in being like, oh, you're unwrapping the present I so carefully wrapped for you. But I do like the presentation to be nice.
Yes, because you're lovely.
Because,
you're
lovely, you know, man. Otherwise you could just throw a bunch of boxes... We'll just leave them right in the Amazon boxes they come in.
Emily has done that.
And I'm sure she has.
Yes, she has.
You didn't need to name names. Okay. But, anyways. Whoops. She's the bag lady.
That's our baby girl. All right, so anyways, when you think about that Robert McPhee quote, right? And, like, how, like, the pressure, the choices that you make in your show... the character in the story when they're under pressure, right? And the greater the pressure, the deeper the revelation about the character, right? So we show our character and who they are by putting them under that pressure as writers, right? Are they brave? Are they wimpy? Are they empathetic? Are they narcissistic? Are they cruel? Are they kind? And we see them through their choices, and we see who they are the most when the risk is large. Wow. Like,
that's all true, and I just want to give a little shout out, actually. To you authors.
Oh, that's sweet.
No, because think about what you're doing. You have to create the character,
right?
Yeah. And do what you just said about showing their character through the. But then you have to create the pressure, mm-hmm. And you have to merge all that with your storyline, and that's a lot of work, man. It's not like life where the pressure just comes at you. You gotta make it up.
You do.
And you gotta make it work if you want to sell a book or tell a good story.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe people should focus more. I just had another revelation.
Okay.
Maybe people should focus on writing a good story rather than selling books and let it occur naturally.
Wow.
But that's a whole nother episode, isn't it?
Yeah.
Probably, huh?
Okay, so we see the characters in our story or the writers and through their choices. Is your writer choice to sell more books, or is your writer choice to write really good stories? Do you feel like you can write a really good story in a month or not?
What do you mean? Oh, I wasn't talking about marketing stuff.
All right,
I was talking about like your initial... I've never been published before kind of book.
Oh, well, sometimes those are the best.
Yeah.
All right, so we see the characters in our story and the people in our lives through their choices. And we see who they are the most when the risk is large. You know, like when I was at the Boston Marathon and I wrote about the people who ran towards the bomb.
Mm-hmm.
The people who weren't emergency and first responders. Like, that showed a lot about who those people were.
Right, exactly.
And then there were other people who were overwhelmed, and it showed that they were overwhelmed right there in that second. There were other people who ran away, and there were all these different reactions, right, when that pressure was so large. And not one reaction isn't necessarily better, but it shows a bit about who their character was at that moment, right? So when you take a book and you insert choices into the character's emotional narrative or plot, right?
Right.
It really pushes your book to another level. And that's something that an intellect, like, can really do with stories, right?
That's right.
So characterization, however, is like a bunch of traits just all tied together. It's like a demographic. Like, you know, I'm a white woman with an MFA in Maine who writes. And you know, you're a white guy in Maine who's really tall.
Right.
Ooh,
I'm an outstanding human being.
No, that's just your demographic, man. Like, you're between these certain ages. You have a certain level of education. You're originally from Florida. Like, you know, you being a cop. Like, you've had past jobs and current jobs. But, like, your psychographic, right, mm-hmm. is different. Like, I'm someone who gives money to certain causes, who stops when I see an accident, usually, unless other people tell me not to. And I cry every time I see a dog video, but I choose to watch it rather than look away. That's my character, right?
Yes.
Whereas Sean is like, turn off that sad Christmas song. That's stupid. Like, don't make yourself cry. Like, right. That's your character. And so that's our characterization. Our character is who we are, but our characterization is, like, just the simple, like...
Broad and vague.
Yeah. Oh, she's nice. Or, oh, that's he's right. amazing. Or, like, oh, he's sexy. You know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But our written characters are like that, too. You want to put them under pressure and give them some choices and see who they are from that very first chapter, so we can also see how they're... character and who they are changes throughout the book, because you want change to happen. A book where it's all stasis is just bleh, boring.
That's true.
So very quickly, the writing tip of the pod is what?
Show who your characters are by their choices and their actions.
Don't have that, you know, if you want them to be a kind of character who wraps presents in Walmart bags, that's okay. If you want them to be a kind of character who, like, calls for martial law, that's okay, because it's your book, man.
Yeah, in a book.
And those choices are going to define that character.
That's right.
Yeah.
That was good. Dog tip for life.
Life. I did the reverb.
Thanks, huh?
Yay.
You hit the reverb button for me that time.
I'm nice like that.
Sparty had a lot to say about this one. And he used Gabby as an example, because she embodies the word characterization. Because it doesn't matter who, well, it doesn't have to be a person or an animal. It could be a leaf. But any thing that has substance that approaches this house is the potential enemy and gets barked at, right?
Right.
So she characterizes everybody.
I as bad.
As bad.
As threats.
And it doesn't matter what a kind person you are. If you were bringing us a 20-pound bag of dog food as a Christmas gift for the dog, she'd still bark at you.
She would.
But Smarty, being a card-carrying dog.
Mix.
He doesn't. As a matter of fact, whenever Sparty joins in the barking, which is so rare, we actually take note and wonder what on earth is going on.
Yeah.
Because he lets people define themselves and show him his character.
Yeah.
Normally.
Right. He trusts them to show who they are.
And he judges them in his dog version of exactly what we were just talking about, basically by their reactions to any situation, which for him would be like smells and movements and what he can pick up on. And he doesn't just trust the simple words that come out of their mouth. That might seem wonderful.
Like, hey, you're such a cutie puppy doggy.
Yeah.
He's like...
That's why I never bother even to say that kind of stuff to him. Because he'll know, he'll see right through me.
Sparty is smart. Because it's not just your empty words that matter, right? Right. That make your character.
Yeah.
It's what you do, how you smell, how you move, how you interact, whether or not you give them bacon and a good belly rub.
Yeah.
Or you blow them off.
Right.
You know, like, that's how doggies judge.
That's true.
Yeah.
They're really mostly good. We actually trust, especially, honestly, Gabby, don't we?
Honestly, Gabby's actually quite good.
Because there's people that come... Well, pre-COVID, used to visit, and she never relaxes around them. And that doesn't mean they're bad people.
No.
But.
She picks up on other people's anxiety a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there's like a certain, like, if you're a little bit too much.
High context. Like me, if I go into a high context zone, she'll stand there and bark at me.
Yeah, she'll bark at Sean.
She doesn't like that kind of energy.
Yeah, she really like...
It's really crazy.
If you've done cocaine, she's basically like, get out of my house now.
And that's not me.
No,
I've never done cocaine.
No. But that energy, that like kind of... Obviously,
we have a fairly large group of friends. So of those friends, some of them will have done drugs in the past.
Yes, and some of them are really, they still have that kind of energy sometimes.
Yeah, it is.
You know? And she picks up on it. And if you have any kind of aggressive energy, she's just like done with you.
Oh, yeah.
So done. So she's a lot more cool with mellow peeps. Like, our friends who in the past, of course, have done marijuana, even though that's legal now in Maine, she's like, yeah, like you. Like, you've got this cool mellow vibe, and I'm chill with that, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's so funny how she is.
Maybe after COVID, if we ever meet any new people, we should turn that into like a magic trick.
Yeah.
And see if that works.
Oh, I think
like when they first meet Gabby.
Yeah.
We can make a little list of what we think they've done for drugs, if any, in their past.
Or if they suffer currently from anxiety. I think she reacts to that a lot.
I think that's close.
Not because
it gives you that general energy.
Yeah.
Kind of.
It's a vibe. She picks up on that vibe.
She sure does.
And then, now you know all about Gabby.
Well.
And our friends.
We don't know all about Gabby. That's a whole lot of baggage.
Oh, poor Gabby.
That's right, baby. I'm sorry. You know all this stuff because you're like the tech guru. You do everything.
I do everything.
Yeah.
But you can tell us about the music that everyone has heard.
The music that we've clipped and shortened in this podcast is awesome and is made available through the Creative Commons license. There's a link to that license and the artist's website in the blog.
And then the podcast notes.
And the artist is Broke for Free. And the song is my favorite summer spliff.
Does that mean pot?
Yeah, that's a joke.
I didn't know that.
It might mean something else too, but a spliff is a joint.
I wonder if that's that's what they meant.
Oh, well, we'll have to look it up, but I bet it. I wouldn't be surprised.
Wow. All right, thanks for listening. That's it, man. All
right.
If you want to support our Patreon, Carrie Jones Books, we have Twitter, and we have Facebook, and we have Instagram, and soon we're going to be on TikTok.
What?
I know, I'm terrified.
Whoa, we'll have to enlist the 8 and the 12-year-old.
We have done the 8 and the 12-year-old.